Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. And joining me in studio is Jonathan Field, producer. Hi, Jonathan.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. A nice some hot summer day here. And coming to us from down in the Gulf is our co-host and chairman of our advisory board, Ron Bachman. Ron, good morning to you.
Good morning to both you and Jonathan. How are you doing up there?
Doing great. How's the golf today?
It's a nice breezy area, so I hope you all are enjoying hot Atlanta. But it's a little warm down here, but we got a nice breeze coming in off the golf.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have everyone with us too that's listening from around the country. We always appreciate you spending time with us every Friday, and we got a great program today. You know, we're going to talk about really two important areas around this big consumerism footprint that we always kind of are amazed about with the different guests that come on, the different niches. But Jamie Hall, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, was certified, is really going to talk about innovation around consolidated billing and the really importance of that in an exchange environment. It's pretty critical for both the employers to really manage the diverse billing from all the different benefit choices and also for the consumers. And then coming to us next on after Jamie will be Jonathan Rend of Castlight. And Jonathan's really going to talk about something really important when it comes to, you know, how do we break down the barriers for true healthcare consumerism in healthcare. So very, very interesting discussion coming up. I want to take a minute, too, and I want to thank our radio sponsor, Aflac, you know, the leader in voluntary and supplemental benefits, for they sponsoring this program and conducting a, you know, regular content campaign with us around a real important subject, and that is the evolution of voluntary as essential benefits, you know, becoming very important as part of a portfolio for consumers to really manage risk and manage the lifestyle. So I want to, again, thank Aflac for their continued support and participation of this radio program and the IHC. And certainly you can find Aflac and the Duck at www.aflac.com. So, again, thank you to Aflac. So before we move into this program, you know, some of the things I think, you know, top of mind with all of us here is that, you know, we're busy gathering nominations for our Superstars and Innovator Awards that will be showcased in a major annual issue this fall, but also will be physically presented and recognized at IHC Forum West, November 8th through, you know, the 9th. John, this is what year is our awards coming up?
I believe it's the 11th.
Yeah, it's the 11th year. Ron, that's something, huh? We've been
it
at
really
this a long
is.
Time.
Well, each year it's harder. Yeah, each year it's harder and harder because there's so many people involved doing so many creative, innovative things that I know it's hard to make the final selections. We broaden the categories because there's more activity going in different areas around healthcare consumers. And so it's a pretty special program, and I encourage everybody to make the nominations early so we can get the selections done.
Yeah, so if you're out there, if you're an innovator out there, or you know of an innovator out there, you know, that's one major area of Superstars is what is the emerging innovation, you know, that's locking in and, you know, serving, you know, new pain points and has a mission and a vision, you know, nominate those innovators, whether it's your own company or it's a company that you work with. But the heart and soul is really to recognize kind of what I call those hidden heroes, those benefit leaders within organizations that are really rolling their sleeves up and getting really good work done for A, the company, and B, their employee population. Wouldn't you agree, Ron?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's just so many, I find it fascinating that there's so many different areas, kind of like this radio program. Today we're going to be talking about two organizations with technology platforms, new technology applications. There's just so many different categories that you've developed to recognize the multiple activities that are going on in healthcare consumerism.
And we'll recognize leading CEOs within health plans, within, you know, employers, you know, TPAs, brokerage firms, et cetera. So, you know, if you have a CEO leader out there that either you work with or you work for, you know, please recognize them. And then our major award is the J.R. Robbins Leadership Memorial Leadership Award. And it really recognizes one of really the, you know, founding fathers of healthcare consumerism, John Robbins, with DataPath that left us way too early. And the J.R. Robbins Memorial Leadership Award is really about recognizing, you know, truly individuals of character, you know, within their community, within their organization, leaders within this industry, and leaders, you know, moving their company forward, you know, with a vision and a passion. So, you know, take a minute and look at that. And, you know, if you know somebody, you know, we've got, you know, Joe Jackson with WageWorks was last year. Chet Burrell, you know, with CareFirst has been there. John Young, who is actually one of our advisory board members and chairman of our, you know, events, was recognized, you know, in the past and well-deserved. And by the way, I want to eat a little segue. We want to welcome John Young back into this country. And hopefully he's listening to us like he always does every Friday. And we're anxious to have John on in the upcoming program to really talk about his speech he gave in Singapore, really about consumerism and how it's healthcare consumerism, how it's impacting globally. So it'll be a very interesting discussion with John. But most of all, to our friend and colleague, welcome back, John. Great to have you back in the country. But we're busy working Baltimore, too, guys, the Private Exchange Forum Baltimore. You know, no rest for the weary. We're done with IHC Forum and Expo and on to our next one. Actually, our next two, Private Exchange Forum Baltimore, September 8th through 9th, and then IHC Forum West, November 8th through the 9th, which will be very interesting timing. Will be a lot of buzz at that discussion about the results of that previous Tuesday's election. You know, I mean, this event takes place on Thursday, Friday. The election is that Tuesday. So it looks like we know who the players are. So that'll be an interesting discussion. Well, nothing will be decided. Everything will be decided. Right, Ron?
Yeah, we think we know who the players are. You know, things can change rapidly in this world. So we'll find out what's going on. But, you know, the Private Exchange Forum in Baltimore is really going to be an exciting event because so much is happening in that exchange world. We know that there's a lot of evolution that's going on there. We're going to hear a little bit about different technology platforms, and that certainly carries over to the technologies and the exchanges. So it's a great time to go. So anybody who hasn't signed up for that, they really need to begin to carve out that time to be able to meet with us in Baltimore.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's just a lot of swirling discussion around exchanges, and you know, that's our goal, is to really provide these forums to stimulate that discussion and help the various stakeholders, be it an employer, the advisors, brokers working with them, the consultant, the TPA, the health plans, and others, really kind of figure out what can work, maybe what can't work, or when it can work. So that's our goal, is to really provide the place for the discussion to take place around, you know, this emerging benefit marketplace exchange, changing innovation around benefit administration and enrollment, which is a lot of really the front-facing part of many of these exchange environments. So, you know, join us in Baltimore, $99 super saver rate, down until what, June 15th or when is the deadline?
Next Friday, week from today.
Yeah, a week from today. So for $99, you can sign up and join us, you know, in Baltimore, and hope that you do. We're also busy at work. We got about a minute to go here on IHC Forum West, and really the key footprint for IHC Forum West, you know, election aside, is going to be innovation, 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 case study, case study, case study, really talking about, you know, what's happening around innovation. You know, West takes place in Las Vegas, close to San Francisco, where a lot of this innovation, you know, is being formulated and created. So that's our big footprint. I mean, we always talk about innovation, but that's a big footprint for IHC Forum West. I'd like to move to our first guest here, and it's good to have him on the program today. He was with us at IHC Forum Expo a couple weeks ago, but I'm bringing on the program now Jamie Hall, Chief Sales and Marketing Officer with Certified. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, great to have you on the
program.
Good
to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you
for having me.
You bet. Nice to have you here. Jamie, give to our market that may not know Certify, because you're kind of in the background doing some good work. Tell our market or tell our listeners a little bit about Certify, if you would, please.
Sure. Great. Thank you. Well, Certify, we're a software company that provides software solutions that help power the new health and benefits marketplace. And our company is founded on the notion that this new evolving healthcare landscape is going to require an entirely new set of tools that can both manage but anticipate, actually, the complexity that will be that is and will be inherent in exchanges and all of the other models that we see emerging and diverging from where we are today. Our focus at the present time is on billing and enrollment. Our first product, William, is a billing and payment solution designed from the very first line of code to address the unique complexity that exists in the exchange environment. So, when we went to market and we looked at the constellation of things that an exchange provider needs to do from consumer engagement, front-end enrollment, benefits administration activities, the piece that really hasn't seen a lot of innovation in our from our perspective is the consolidated billing piece. And so what if you're providing an exchange or building an exchange or some derivation thereof, what you have to work with today are largely legacy platforms, carrier billing platforms, and legacy COBRA billing platforms that are being repurposed, evolved, enhanced in order to try to meet the ever-changing needs of that marketplace, but we just don't think it's keeping up. So we are today a consolidating billing company, and we'll continue to evolve products and solutions as we go.
Any other market trends that you see impacting exchange billing, Jamie?
Yeah, a lot. So the way I like to think about this is just to start with sort of the mega trends, what's going on in the market. Of course, the big three are legislation, driven by the ACA, but dependent on whichever way the political winds are blowing. Technology, both advancement in technology, new things that enable new and better ways of processing transactions and things like that, but also technology adoption from consumers. So I in my lifetime never thought that I would see presidential candidates tweeting back and forth as a primary way of communicating. And then consumer expectations. So, I think that this whole, if you think about the difference between baby boomers' expectations and how things get done to millennials, a lot has changed there. So what this means for exchanges is that they're going to have to remain flexible to adapt to legislation, to adapt to all the changes, and they're going to have to be able to embrace and use the latest technology in order to remain competitive. So to your question, what that means for billing in an exchange scenario is that first, absolutely the need to be able to plug and play with an ever-increasing constellation of front-end applications. We see that exchanges are not only changing the front-end applications in order to provide a better consumer experience, but also using multiple front-ends, multiple enrollment systems or eligibility platforms. So to be able to keep that back-end billing tight is important, and to be able to adopt and interact with all of those front-end applications is important. I think the second is the ability to manage the complexity in the software. And what I mean by that is, we actually use a finance accounting style structure that allows us to force balance every transaction that comes through our platform, making sure that both payables and receivables balance, and that essentially eliminates reconciliation. So as you deal as an exchange provider with complexity and trying to engage consumers and employers in your solution, what you can't have happen is to have massive reconciliation activities happening on the back end, because you're not managing each individual transaction in the software. So I think that getting the software right, being flexible, two of the major trends that are just going to become gating requirements for billing solutions in the future.
That's great. Ron?
Yeah, Jamie, it's good to talk to you. Our paths have crossed several times in our prior employment lifetimes out there. You've been a real leader in this industry. This technology that you're talking about, for a lot of our listeners, you know, sort of seems like it's background stuff. It's stuff that they expect to have done already. So what are some of the unique problems that you're actually solving for your customers, and who are your customers? Are they exchanges? Are they large employers? Give us a little bit of an insight into the unique problems that this does that would resonate with our audience.
Great. Thanks, Ron. And good to talk to you as well. As you know, a couple of answers to that question. As you know, I've spent a lot of my career on the consumer-facing side of healthcare technology. So I have a unique appreciation for how important these back-end systems are to getting the front-end consumer experience right. And I think that often what happens is organizations build, have one team working on the consumer experience and one team trying to figure out how to get the back office to work. They're actually two parts of one whole. And if the back office isn't working, the consumer experience starts to break down pretty quickly. So that just is a pretext to our customers are today well-known public and private exchanges. We also provide services for carriers and who do business in the individual markets and small employer on and off exchange. It's interesting that the types of organizations that are getting into this space are growing dramatically. We actually have been working with a number of organizations that are trying to provide solutions in the sharing economy. So you think about, and this is a great point about the complexity, you think about Uber drivers and Airbnb renters and TaskRabbit delivery folks who are essentially independent contractors but want to need to enroll in benefits, and then they have organizations that aren't their parents, but they do want to provide some sort of incentive or contribution towards their health care. Putting all of that together is incredibly complicated, and those are the types of things that we're working on. So our customers are really anybody who's trying to solve for complicated billing solutions in that space. Really quickly, specifically, the problems that we solve are, first and foremost, just deliver a more accurate consolidated bill. When we do that, we know that a whole bunch of other things go away. The amount of manual work goes away, the amount of the pressure on call centers and all of the utilities that are set up in order to support error rates and inaccuracies go away. In fact, we had one customer who had a 92% reduction in calls related to billing questions just a couple of months after we installed William. So that was good. We apply business rules at the point of eligibility intake. So essentially, we're cleaning data for our customers, especially customers who are using multiple sources of enrollment as we operate this billing function. And then we're creating some really unique solutions. So from a payment perspective, we want to make sure that consumers are able to pay on the device or in the way that they want from whatever account they want. But for unbanked consumers, we've created a solution, a cash pay solution that allows them to essentially take their bill, walk into a retail outlet like a Walgreens or a Dollar General store, present the bill to a cashier. Prompts them to scan a code, which prompts them to collect a cash payment, and then that payment is routed back to us and goes into the billing process. So a number of really just basic problems in getting it right, but then really unique problems focused on specific customer demographics.
Very good.
So Jamie, talk a little bit more about some of these best practices for exchange consolidated billing.
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, when we think about it, I think first and foremost, we talk to our customers about taking a finance perspective. And what that means is making sure that you are keeping the constellation of treasury functions, invoicing, payment, remittance, reporting, tightly coupled on a single system. Making sure that you're using the same source of data as the truth when transacting. that you are, and I talked about this just a little bit ago, that you're making sure that expected credits and debits are tied in each and every transaction set, so that we're essentially here force balancing. And in doing that, in each and every bill and each and every transaction, you eliminate the need for retroactive reconciliation. I think those are really the top of the line. And then finally, just flexibility. So the ability to interact with multiple sources of data and generate a single source of truth with regards to eligibility is going to become more and more important as these exchange models continue to grow in complexity and become more and more diversified.
Jamie, on the is it both enrollment and billing? Are you doing all the enrollment, or are you taking enrollment data from other sources and putting together the billing? How does all that work together, and why is that billing so important to the end customer experience that you're trying to deliver?
Yeah, no, we don't do the enrollment. So we specifically designed William to stand apart from some of the other core functions like enrollment and eligibility to ensure that we could manage a consistent back-end experience for consumers, for employers, for anybody who is interacting with the billing system as exchanges change, add, manage all of those front-end applications. So we only do the billing, and we do it in such a way that it can be plugged into just about any ecosystem of front-end applications to provide a really consistent perspective for the customer on the back end. That, again, allows a tremendous amount of flexibility as they grow and evolve their exchange model.
Yeah. So Jamie, what's next for, you know, what's kind of in your product pipeline for Certify? What's next, either enhancing William or even in addition to William?
Well, I'll tell you, as the Chief Sales and Marketing Officer, our number one priority today is to make sure that we are helping as many customers as possible move to a new, better billing platform. But, when you think about what we're doing, solving the billing problem in the software as opposed to taking snapshots and doing reconciliation on the front and back end, which is where most of the innovation is, we can take that and apply it to a whole slew of other applications in healthcare. So if you think about needs for payers, needs for providers, employers, we will be evolving this into adjacent markets and use cases fairly quickly. We also have a number of really cool consumer-type products that we'll be coming out with and that we're kind of playing around with, but always helping people, helping customers manage transactions, managing finances at this point.
That's great stuff. Jamie, it's been great having you on the program. We've got about a minute or so to go, and I want to allow you to leave our audience with a couple key takeaways and then how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. So, first and foremost, I would say when you're looking at consolidated billing, take a finance perspective. Make sure that the billing system that you are building is built from with good accounting principles in place, and make force balance functionality a gating requirement. The days of massive reconciliation and taking snapshots and trying to put all of that together, I think, should be behind us and need to be behind us if we're to enable the next round, the next iteration of exchanges, and then make flexibility a priority. So ensure that your billing system can interact with plug-and-play products, systems, so that you can maintain a consistent back-end experience for your customers. So that's, I think that those are the big things to keep in mind when you're looking for this type of technology. And you can get in touch with us. You can at www.certify.com. You can email me directly at Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, .H-A-L-L, at Certify, C-E-R-T-I-F-I, .net, or call me at 415-279-4889.
Jamie, thanks so much. Great to have you on the program. I look forward to catching up to you real soon. And say hello to Jay for me, please.
Hey, Doug and Ron, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Take care, Jamie. Bye. See you later. Good stuff, Ron. Like we talk about, all different moving pieces and very important part of the back end. I mean, if employers are going to have multiple choices, multiple benefits, you know, they got multiple billing challenges, and if you can't do consolidated billing, then you really can't achieve some of the efficiencies that they're looking for. Plus, as Jamie points out, the consumers have shared responsibility too. So how do you help them, you know, better manage, you know, and you know, facilitate, you know, their payments as well?
Yeah, you know, if you can't get your billing right, you're not going to get your cash flow right, so your business is at risk, and everybody gets upset when they get the wrong kind of a bill in. We know that. So I think you're being very creative with the use of new technologies and new approaches to solving some of the old problems we have. They're even creative in their name, William. If you think about it, you're talking about bills, right? So
yeah.
It's William.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty good. And again, this will be go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think the whole issue is of getting billings right. And if they're not doing the enrollment, means they've really got some great technology to take enrollment information. Most people don't even think about the fact that with a large group, you've got people coming in, you've got people going out, you have human resource records of who's an active employee, who's not an active employee. And then you throw in exchange. Which is another entity, maybe different from the insurance company, maybe different from the HR department, and you have all these activities going on, and you have to have online real-time access to all this stuff in order to send out the proper bill for who's actually active, who's actually enrolled in the plan, who's actually got coverage, who's paid their premiums. I mean, it's a very complicated system that has to be accommodated with this kind of technology, and it is sort of, you know, the back room stuff that people take for granted, but having worked in that area, it is not easy, and I think the use of new technology and capabilities has really come to the forefront, which hopefully will eliminate a lot of the historic problems that people have had with billings.
Yeah, I think, and again, this discussion will roll over into our private exchange forum. It'll be a very important part of our discussion at private exchange forum. I mean, when you look at kind of two of the important, I wouldn't say hidden pieces, but, you know, back-end pieces, you know, you've got this piece was incredibly important because if you're going to have plans of choice, which is really a marketplace environment, you know, not just major medical choice, but look at the, you know, the swirling evolution of voluntary and supplemental, you have to help employers consolidate that and come up with single billing and help them manage that. So incredibly important. And then decision support, which will be a big discussion point about the evolving technology around decision support in a marketplace environment, because, you know, consumers, you know, how much do they really want to be educated versus how much do they want to say, hey, tell me what two or three choices I need to be making based upon who I am or who my family is.
Right. Well, you know, employers out there thinking about coming to one of our conferences, especially the one coming up in Baltimore, probably wouldn't necessarily think right away that some of the solutions that they'd be looking for are going to be at that conference. I mean, this is kind of backroom technology, but it's what HR benefit managers are looking at. If I go to an exchange, is my billing going to be right? Am I going to get the right kind of technology support to connect to an exchange that maybe I've had in some other environments? So, you know, I think it just shows how broadly healthcare consumerism and private exchanges has reached. And you're going to find a lot more solutions because there's so many great exhibitors and vendors that are at these conferences. I think employers will come, as they typically do, for the first time, and are surprised at the wide variety of information, options, choices, and new ideas that they can get at these forums that you put on.
Yeah, and I think again, we got about a minute to go. I think the word exchange will continue to evolve. I think we here, you know, don't necessarily like that word. We're all using it right now. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday. It's really about, you know, the changing, you know, landscape around where innovation is helping, you know, employers, you know, make it more efficient to enroll and administrator benefits and offer more choice. And that can come offering a single, you know, carrier plan, but surrounding it with voluntary and supplemental. So this industry is evolving. I think that's part of, you know, again, what we continue to talk about, you know, if you're an employer out there, you may not be thinking about an exchange, but, you know, coming to Baltimore, you'll begin to understand where it can fit, where it cannot fit, and where it can move maybe into your 1 to 5 year benefit plan. So, again, you know, private exchange forum Baltimore, we'll talk about it a little bit later on the program. Right now, we're going to turn the page and really talking about, you know, what steps need to be taken in this market to, you know, have true consumerism in healthcare, and probably no better organization and representative of an organization to talk about that than Jonathan Wren, Chief Research and Development Officer with Cathlyte Health, the leader in this space. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, Jonathan. Good to have you on the program. Nice to have you with us. You know, give a lot of the market knows about Cathlyte, but probably knows about Cathlyte from a 5,000-foot level, and you guys are pretty deep and wide, and you are the de facto leader. Give our market, before we start, a little background on Cathlyte Health, please.
Sure thing. So Cathlyte's the leader and provider of a health benefits platform. So really what we do at the end of the day is provide a couple of things. We provide a platform and an application. I'm sorry, I'm a little out of breath here.
Okay.
Provide an application and a for consumers, employees of companies, so that they can do a much better job of understanding their healthcare. I mean, at the end of the day, what we see over and over again is 70% of employees have no idea what their healthcare benefits are. So what we do is provide an application for them so that they can really easily understand and navigate and have one central place to understand all their healthcare benefits. That's number one. The second piece that we do, because we provide a ton of different information and education for them, we end up capturing really critical information on the back end. It's all PII. It's all from a security perspective, completely secure and compliant with HIPAA, et cetera. But then we're able to provide an experience for employers, for benefit leaders, so they can get a window into how to better engage their populations and better educate them when they need it, where they need it, about their healthcare needs. So there's really two sides of the coin here. There's an employee experience to explain and help and educate them on consumerism. But then there's an employer experience that really allows them to be able to have an understanding, as I say, a window of visibility into their population by segments and better communicate with them in their times of need.
That's interesting. What do you think from your desk, what are the greatest barriers to consumerism in healthcare right now?
Well, I think one of the biggest ones is just education. Healthcare is absolutely one of those areas where people don't understand it, number one, as I said. Typically, they don't care about it until they need it, and when they need it, that's all they care about. So it's a very unique space. It's a very unique domain. It's a very unique set of needs and requirements by an employee of a company. And so the first is education. Most people are normally it's one of those things during open enrollment. They get a little bit of information, and at the end of the day, they hand that over to their significant other or partner to figure out what to do. So then when they comes time for an event, something happens, they need access to a particular service, it's a mad scramble to figure out where and how they get that information, what's covered, what's in network, what's not in network, what services are offered. So overcoming that barrier of education and getting people the information when they need it, how they need it, how they want to digest it, is super critical. That's probably the biggest. And then I'd say the second is, go ahead.
Go ahead and finish your thought. I have a question around education.
No, I'd say the second, after people have a single place to integrate and then we engage them in the right way, which is a huge barrier, like how do you actually engage populations? And this kind of gets to the benefit leaders we talk to all the time. Their biggest challenge, they always tell us, is they don't want to be abrasive to their populations. They don't want to flood them with broad information that they know will be ignored and frustrate them. So how do you get targeted, personalized information to them? That's super critical. And then the last one is, how do you even measure these? Every company we work with today, every Fortune 500 or below the Fortune 500, are spending big dollars on healthcare, and they're spending even bigger dollars on the services for their employees. They have no real way to measure that, none whatsoever. So, again, they're putting programs out on an annual basis, planning for them a year in advance. They send them out there, and then they really don't have a simple way in which they can understand if they're being used, if they're being leveraged, if they're valuable, et cetera.
Jonathan, when it comes to education, you know, we talk about this a lot. Is it? We actually agree with you. Education, education, education. But to a point of, at what point do the consumers, you know, the employees and their families, and every family is different. Do they say, hey, I only want to be educated so much, but then tell me what the choices I need to make based upon it, then that's really your footprint too, decision support, right? I mean, really, you know, helping these consumers make the right decision based upon some foundation of education, but also, you know, guiding them to 2-3 choices, whatever. I'm only using that as an example that they need to choose based upon who they are.
That's right. Well, you know, we at Castlight, one of the things we've done and we've worked really hard to do, and do it in the right way, do it in a thoughtful way, do it in a medically, you know, and clinical approved method, is to apply consumer techniques. One of the things we've seen over the years when you talk about consumerism and you talk about employees, number one, people don't respond. They're not interested unless it's personalized to them. That's one. Two, there's a body of research out there that always shows that it's up to 20 times more likely that an individual will respond to something if it gets them at a particular point in time when they need that. And this is echoed through the successes of the Amazons of the world, the LinkedIns of the world, the Facebooks of the world. So if you take some of those basic techniques about information and how you present it to people, when and where you present it to people, and you apply that to healthcare in a meaningful way, you can see some tremendous impacts. And that's what we're starting to see in our platform today. So it's really important that you apply, in a way, a model by which you get information to individuals that's personalized in their segments that they care about, and you do that by understanding information about those individuals, those segments. And we do that by, again, understanding what they care about, what they're searching on. We do that by understanding past claims that they have. And we have our own models that we build on populations, not individuals, but populations in a PII-compliant way, so that then we can target at which particular phase somebody would care about a particular service given a particular condition that they may care about.
Yeah, that's good. Ron?
Yeah, Jonathan, this is fascinating stuff. You know, Castlight's clearly the industry leader, and you're working with the very largest self-insured employers in the country. What are some of their biggest concerns, and what are the interests when you're making your sale to the organization? What's their concern, and is there a difference between the organizational concern and what the employees are ultimately looking for with your service?
Well, I think there are a couple of concerns. Like, one of the top concerns that I see quite frequently from the employers, some of these large corporations that are some of the best known in the world. One of the concerns that they carry is, again, I mentioned it a little bit before, they've had so much experience and so much feedback from their employees about random or broad-based communication that isn't applicable to them. The example that's shown often is the middle-aged man getting information about maternity programs. You know, so there's lots of examples of that out there. There's lots of examples of past communications where it's nothing more than posters posted in a bathroom about a particular benefit that's new. These are, you know, archaic models. That's not what people are used to today, given the age of the smartphone, given the age of mobility, given the age of people from a consumer standpoint, really digesting information in the modes and the models in which they care to digest them. So that's really, to me, at the heart of everything around engagement and why that's such an important thing to these companies.
Give us a little bit, Jonathan, take us a little deeper in describing Castlight Action and what it really does. I mean, I think you touched on a lot of it, but if you would you know, help our audience kind of get more clarity on Castlight Action.
Sure, sure. Well, as I mentioned before, Castlight really pioneered the area of transparency, which is the consumer shopping experience, not just on price, but on correlating price and quality together. Both of those together, what we find frequently, are critical to people when they're in that moment of making decisions about their own benefits, their own health care. What we realized over the years is we started to measure and see, again, what people cared about. And we started to create, through our relationships with the employers and with all the major payers, all the major carriers, we really started to understand and realize that this body of information that we capture not only from the carriers, which think of it as the backward-facing window on what people have done, what services they've used. Think about that as medical claims. So you think about medical claims in a generic standpoint of a rear view of what people have done. And then you couple that with information around what they care about in the future, what they're searching on, what conditions they may care about, which is a forward-looking view. If you couple those together and you marry that with eligibility information, demographic information, you start to build a very interesting model, a predictive model, a rules-based model, if you will, to better segment populations, again, at a generic HIPAA PII sense, of who cares about what and when they care about it. So you Action itself, at the core, for the employer or the benefit leader view, is really all about providing that window, but providing that window in a set of cohorts or segments. So you can have one around pregnancy. You can have one around knee and hip pain. You can have one around lower back pain. You can have one around many of the opportunities that are critical to an organization. And in most senses, in the biggest sense, those opportunities that generate the highest cost for an organization. So we know that as well. So think of a panel, if you will. You're a benefit leader. You come in and you see a set of segments listed, and by the end of this year, we'll have 18. We have over 9 today, where now I'm viewing the population not as a monolithic block of individuals that might care about, you know, all our services in any random way, but actually separated, segmented segments of the population, you know, nameless, faceless, HIPAA compliant, that fall into these. They may be considering back surgery because they have lower back pain, but there's a whole life cycle in lower back pain, from the first time someone experiences it to chronic conditions to ready for surgery. And we all know that 30% of back surgeries are unnecessary. So when you think about the life cycle of some of these segments or cohorts, and you think about the power of educating people early on that there are other alternatives to addressing lower back pain other than surgery, if you catch them early in the cycle, that could be physical therapy, could be chiropractor, could be all kinds of different services, you start to see how you can eliminate major costs down the road. So each of these segments have a life cycle to them, and we're able to not only segment populations, but then break those populations into kind of where they are in the life cycle, and then communicate the right types of programs to those individuals where they are in that life cycle. Does that help explain what Action is?
Yeah, it really does. Ron?
Yeah, I mean, this stuff is pretty interesting. We're all familiar with doing a Google search on a travel or an airline, and then all of a sudden we start to see ads show up for, you know, things that are available in that city or on that trip. And I guess they're taking, you know, what we used to call, maybe we still do, big data, and trying to do this predictive analytics that you're talking about. Can you tell us a little bit more about what kind of data sources you're using to try to profile and segment people? Because this idea of getting information to people at the right time, what some would call a learning moment, you know, they're looking, like I said, for something that would indicate they have back pain, or maybe there's some medications they're taking that might mean they're more susceptible to certain disease or some ongoing issue around their health. How are you pulling all that together, and what sources are you using to help people get the information they need at the right time?
Sure, sure. Well, we use a few different sources of information. Some that we get, as I said before, that is historical, and some that's very forward-looking. So the historical information is, and those sources of information come from our partners, the major payers and carriers. When a company goes out and they decide they want to use a solution like CapsLight, one of the things that we do is we go out and we work with their carriers, whether it's an Anthem, whether it's a Cigna, et cetera, and we get the 2 years of past claims for that population. Then we have to understand, well, who in that population is eligible, for this particular, a self-insured high deductible, because we want this to be people who are eligible for that, and eligible employees of the company, as an example, but doesn't have to just be high HDHP. It could be PPOs as well, but that they're employees of the company. As you know, that's pretty dynamic. People come in and out of populations. So we get that information. Then we also get the claims, as I mentioned. And again, those pieces of information are the backward-facing, the historical, the past. But then we marry that with, as time goes on, with what people care about, what they're searching on. We call that mindshare data. And we're in a unique position where across a particular population at a particular company, we are tracking, again, in a completely HIPAA-compliant method, like what people care about, what content they're reading, what conditions and services they're searching on. That gives us a window into what they're thinking about and where they are right now. And so when you marry those sources together, you put them in a particular big data model with both rules and predictive methods, you start to get some very interesting information where by looking at the demographic population, by looking at what people are searching on, by looking at those who are eligible, you start to build these segments that you can be very, very sure that when you're sending information, preventative particularly information to people ahead of when they actually need it, it's especially relevant to them. And that makes all the difference in the world to some of the first points we were making.
Okay. Everybody's talking about behavioral health. What you're really talking about is changing their behaviors with the information that you're providing. That's the end result, right?
That's right. And behavioral change, transformation, we all know, it's probably one of the hardest things to do. And I can't think of a more challenging area than healthcare itself around that. So we definitely are not addressing a small problem here. If we're going to sink our teeth into something, we're going to do something that's challenging. I think we found it.
Yeah, I think you have, Jonathan. That's well said. Listen, it's been nice having you on the program. We've got about a minute to go, and I want to give you a chance to leave our audience with a few takeaway thoughts and tell them how they can get in touch with CapsLight.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it, and really appreciate you all taking the time to talk to us and myself. If I have to say anything, there's a mission that drives us at CapsLight, and when we hear individual stories, we hear anecdotes, we hear about employees who, quite frankly, that the company may have moved to a high deductible plan, and they've automatically lowered costs. And when they've lowered costs because now the employees have realized that more of the burden, more of the responsibility is on them. The first reaction, the first behavior that you get is that a lot of people just will not take the services. They won't access those services because they know there's cost involved in that. If you do not provide, if you fail to make available a way, a forum, a platform for employees to go out and truly understand that, wow, there's a huge variance. Maybe I can't afford. Maybe I don't understand my benefits. When you do that, that kind of behavior is changing people's lives. It's changing individuals' lives, and that's really the mission that drives us. And then we want to also empower the benefit leaders so that they can be more effective in all the money that they're spending, all the annual plans that they're so thoughtfully putting together. Those two areas, that's what CapsLight's about. That's what we care about. That's what we're trying to change. That's what we're trying to address.
Yep. And Jonathan, how can people reach out to CapsLight?
Well, we just updated our website, so I would love for people to go out and take a look at everything that we do at CapsLightHealth.com. If you have any questions, that we have demonstrations of our platform, we have customer stories, anecdotes, and references. And you have any questions, we're happy to address that.
Jonathan, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule today. Great discussion, and I look forward to picking this discussion up with you in the future. Have a great weekend.
That was
great.
Yeah, thank you. You all have a great time.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Good stuff again, Ron. You know, the evolution of where technology is really helping both employers manage the health benefits and consumers manage the health benefits, you know, their choices and benefits as well.
Yeah, I think all this technology discussion is fascinating because there's, especially this last discussion around using multiple databases to find out about a person, their profile, their category, their interests, their illnesses, their health needs. That's really evolving with this whole idea of big data. So I think Castlight's been at the forefront of transparency for a long time, and I think bringing in these new dimensions, they are going to stay on the lead. So it's fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it is. Well, listen, to our listeners out there, we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, as always, to join us this Friday. A couple reminders. If you know somebody that's a superstar or innovator, go to www.theiacc.com, and you can find the nomination form, and we urge you to take that time and do so to recognize key individuals and companies out there in the marketplace. And for both our events, Private Exchange Forum Baltimore coming up September 8th through 9th, IHC Forum West November 8th through 9th in Las Vegas, both of these will really dig deep into innovation and technology. We have Super Saver, $99 Super Saver rate for employers, brokers, advisors. Again, go to our forum website, theiaccforum.com. And again, thank you so much. Enjoy your summer weekend, and we'll see you next Friday on Healthcare Consumerism Radio.